All right, well, hello there. And we are with Canada Soccer, and we are here to have a little, I guess, question and answer, and maybe some discussion with some FIFA referees. So, to my left here, we have a FIFA referee who joined the international panel in 2014. She has been to a World Cup, and she is looking to go to the next World Cup as well. So, we have Marie-Soleil Beaudoin. She is from Quebec City, Quebec. And to her left, we have another FIFA assistant referee who joined the FIFA panel in 2015, who will also be talking about her experience at the World Cup in France in 2019, and maybe even some Olympic experience she might talk about, and also her upcoming goal of going to the next World Cup as well. So from Regina, Saskatchewan, we have Chantal Boudreau. And my name is Yussi Rudolph. I'll be the one who says a couple of words and then passes it off to the important people over here. So, Marie-Soleil, do you want to tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Yeah. Hi, everyone. Thanks for being here. As Yussi said, I'm a FIFA referee. I've been refereeing professionally and internationally since 2014. And so Chantal and I were at the Women's World Cup last time in 2019. And we're in the process of, hopefully, fingers crossed, get to the next Women's World Cup as well in 2023 in Australia and New Zealand. The process to be selected to a World Cup for a referee is very similar to what it would be for a national team player. So we go to different tournaments, we're evaluated, we have laws of the game, tests, fitness tests, obviously on-field assessments. So we're hoping that our national team selection is going to happen somewhere in February or March. So that's where we are in the process. And when I'm not a referee, I am a mom, first of all. I have two young boys, a four-year-old and a 10-month-old. And then I'm my full-time job is to be a faculty member. So I teach at Dalhousie University. So I'm now proudly representing Halifax, Nova Scotia. Now I've been there for 7 years now. So Chantal, you want to say a little bit more about yourself?
Sure. So Chantal Boudreau, I'm from Regina, Saskatchewan. I moved to Ontario 5 years ago. I've been international since 2015. I've been lucky enough to go to the Women's World Cup in 2019. I was at the Olympics in Tokyo in 2021, I guess, instead of 2020. I'm hoping to actually go to the Women's World Cup next year with Marie-Soleil. So we're right now fighting for spots. So some of the pictures that you may see are the games that we've done together in the last 2 years in hopes to go to the Women's World Cup. I just came back from Costa Rica. I was there for the U20 Women's World Cup just last month. I guess my life at home is I'm a full-time referee, assistant referee, so I ref in the MLS, I ref with Canada Soccer, I ref with CONCACAF, and I do international games at the FIFA level.
All right, well, thank you. And before we get into your past experiences, let's talk about getting to the World Cup, because recently you brought up the selection process and how we're looking at maybe February that you might get. Hopefully you get that letter saying that you're going to be going to Australia and New Zealand. So since the last World Cup, what has that cycle kind of looked like for you guys? What have you been doing in preparation, the tournaments you've been at?
Yeah, so FIFA works on basically a four-year cycle to select referees. So when the 2019 World Cup finished, basically we started from a blank slate, and FIFA will put on a list of what they call potential officials. So Chantal and I, as well as Myriam from another Canadian referee, have been on this list for, since 2020. And so for us, it's really about showing at every game. So whether that is an international game or a professional game, so I work mostly in the Canadian Premier League, showing at every game that we have the level to referee at the top level in women's soccer. Even when I do a game here, I have a FIFA coach. She's European for my specific case, but she looks at every single one of my games and we debrief all the time. So it's really been like an ongoing process for the past 4 years. In my situation, there's obviously been a little curveball, as I gave birth to my second son in November last year in 2021. So there's been a little bit of a hiatus there, but I've been back on the field since April this year, and hoping to prove that mom can not only be in the house and with the kids, but also doing some international duties on the field.
I guess for me, I'm the complete opposite. I don't have a family. I don't have kids. I have chosen to do this life pretty much full time at this point in my life. So last year, I was extremely lucky. I got hired on with the MLS. And so I actually moved to the U.S. last year because of COVID restrictions. And I lived in the U.S. all of last year so I could officiate within the MLS and travel the world also reffing to go to the Olympics. So I'm lucky in the sense that I get to do this full time. In terms of trying to make it to the next Women's World Cup, and what it's looked like for me for the last 3 years is I've been dedicating a lot of time to developing my craft as an assistant referee. So fitness training and trying to make sure that I'm in the best shape that I can be to also be the best official on the field for a men's or a women's game. Because at the end of the day, when we talk about the Women's World Cup, it's a completely different game than the men's game. In so many different ways, which is super challenging for us going from CPL or MLS to a women's international game, but we're very lucky to have Canada Soccer support us, and we've been able to do some women's international appointments to get us ready for the next step. So that's kind of where we're at right now.
All right. Well, I wouldn't say that you're lucky. I would say that you're good at what you do, which is why you have those opportunities. Have you guys been to any tournaments recently? Have you guys gone away to any events that, you know, might be of interest to some of our people out here?
Yeah, the latest event that Chantal and I went together is called the Mogis Revelo Tournament. It's terrible. You know, May, we had to go to the south of France, stay on the winery. It was a really terrible time. No, just kidding. But it was... it's an invitational tournament in France where they had 16 men's international team from under 20 to under 23. And it was actually the first international men's tournament that was entirely officiated by women's officials. So FIFA had brought in some of the candidates for the next Women's World Cup, including us too, to referee this tournament, and we were lucky enough to do three games. So we refereed Venezuela, Indonesia, France, Argentina, and then a semifinal between Colombia and Venezuela. So eye-opening, obviously, men's football in South America, not things that Chantal and I do on a day-to-day basis, but definitely like a big, huge learning experience.
I feel like this year we've also done some women's tournaments. We were in the Dominican Republic doing the U20 Women's World Cup qualifiers. I ended up going to the U20 Women's World Cup, which was in Costa Rica. We went to France, and then we also did the Women's World Cup qualifiers in Mexico as well. So it's been a busy year for tournament-wise for us in preparation for the Women's World Cup. Next year, there's going to be two selection tournaments that I think we may or may not participate in, depending on if the FIFA panel decides they need to see us one more time. But at the end of this year, I think we're very happy with the tournaments and the games that we've done, in hopes that we've done enough to get selected in March for the Women's World Cup.
So Marisa, you were talking a little about spending your vacation time in the south of France on a winery. Do you guys want to talk a bit about what a day in the life of a World Cup referee is when you're at the event? And Chantal, maybe you can talk about a day in the life for an Olympian, right? Like staying in the Olympic Village.
It's the same thing. When we go to tournaments, we train just as much as the players do. We're on the fields for typically about 2.5 to 3 hours training. We do on-field sessions with players. We also get preparation with the VAR, because at the Olympics and at the Women's World Cup, we do have VAR there supporting us. So we do a lot of the on-field training every morning. Then we get a chance to shower, have lunch, and then we're in class typically for another 2 to 4 hours. So after every set of games, we also do debriefs. So we do match analysis, and we observe our games. We have assessors who help us learn from our own mistakes and learn from the things that we do well. And so in the day, we're literally talking about soccer for most of it. Then we have a little bit of rest and relaxation, and then we do it all over again for typically anywhere between 20 to 45 days, depending on the tournament.
Yeah. The idea here, like, I really feel that as a referee, like, I consider myself an elite athlete, just like any of the players that I referee on the field. And the idea is that the more that we're prepared, the more that we understand the game, and, like, we're a fan of the game, like, first and foremost, I guess we just ended up being in a different path that's often less traveled as a referee. But the idea is the more that we're prepared, the more that we understand the team's tactics, the problem players, the star players of the team that we're going to referee, the more the things that we see on the field make sense, therefore helping us make those decisions in, you know, the half second that we have to decide whether it's a penalty kick or not a penalty kick. So that's why when we go to tournaments, and I mean, literally, even like when we're by ourselves at home, you know, we watch games, we watch clips, we discuss within, like, with our peers, because that's really what's going to help us make that right decision in those critical times, you know, in a playoff games and then World Cup, like a round of 16 games in a World Cup.
So, Marisa, you were talking earlier about how you're a mother, and you're a mother of two. Do you want to talk to us a little bit about, you know, the differentiation between being the mother and then going out and refereeing a professional soccer game, and how that balances out with not just your home life, but your work life and all of that?
Yeah, I like to think that, yeah, I'm very busy, I'm not going to lie, but I like to think that it's all self-inflicted. So, you know, I can't really complain. It's all things that I love to do, and I chose to do that. And I'm obviously there's challenges in, you know, being pregnant and coming back to referee at the highest possible level. I don't know if I'm the only one to ever do that, but my first kid was born in March 2018, and in November 2018, I was the under-17 Women's World Cup, and I ended up refereeing the final. So I know it's kind of a claim to fame that I gave birth and refereed the World Cup final in the same year, so I'm going to hold on to that. But that brings me to talking about the positive aspects of being a mom, right? We often think about the challenges that it brings, and certainly there are some. But for me, when I became a mother, it also brought me like a balance in my life that I probably didn't have before. And what that balance did for me is to help me recover from mistakes quickly, right? The worst thing that can happen for a referee is to make a mistake, and if that mistake affects your confidence, it's going to lead to another mistake 5 minutes down the road, or, you know, the next game and so on. And that is actually very dangerous for a referee. So for me, when I became a mom, like, even though I might not have had the perfect game, I was going home, you know, to a place where, you know, my baby giggled with me, you know, and so missing that PK didn't seem too bad after all. So yeah, long story short, really, it brought me that balance and that, like, life away from soccer that allows me, I think, to be a better performer when I'm on the field.
And Chantal, do you want to talk a little bit about the day in the life of, for you as a professional referee, and what that entails, especially over the last year or so with COVID and all those restrictions?
Again, I think for me, I've been extremely lucky that I've had the opportunities that I've had. So today I just flew in from Montreal. I was doing the game last night in Montreal versus DC. And then on Tuesday, actually I fly to Charlotte. So for me, this is the busiest time of my year. I'm literally flying from one city to the other, typically from either Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday, or a Saturday to Saturday. So for me, when I'm traveling, I come home for typically anywhere between 1 to 5 days, and I recover, I train, I eat, and I try to get some accounting work done, because I do accounting part-time for another fellow referee, actually. And it's great, because I get to focus, for me at this point in my life, I get to focus a lot more on refereeing and the goals that I have. So to make it to the next Women's World Cup, to referee in the men's league, these are my goals at this point in my life. So I feel like right now that's where my focus is, and the focus is on training and mentally being prepared for the next game and the next sequence that that's coming up, so hopefully that's where my life is. No, no kids yet. She's magical, but that's not for me yet.
She's younger than me, too.
So let's talk about maybe whenever you guys started refereeing. So I know I got into it when I realized I was not a very good player and thought, well, if I want to stay in the game in one way, shape, or form, I got to do something else, right? So then I started to referee. So what brought you guys into refereeing, and what, more importantly, what has made you guys stick around through what must have been hard years to begin with?
So coming from Regina, Saskatchewan, it's not exactly a big soccer community. I basically started reffing when I was in university to help pay for university. I didn't really want to ref, but my brother convinced me to take a referee course, and he said, this will help you pay for things, and so it's fun money. And then all of a sudden, I started reffing, and I started really enjoying it, and then reffing at the regional level and then at the provincial level. And within 5 years, I developed so quickly within Saskatchewan that I got nominated to the national list. And because of the opportunities that I had, all of a sudden, it became a reality that I could travel. I could get out of Saskatchewan. I could go to Ontario. I could go to Quebec. I could go to PEI to ref a soccer tournament. And it was never something I thought I would ever do, because I wasn't a very great player either. But for money, it kind of seemed something fun. And then all of a sudden, the opportunities came where I could become an international soccer referee. So when that opportunity came, it just became a whole other life goal to now make it to a Women's World Cup or make it to an Olympics. But at the end of the day, when I first started, if this is where I thought I was going to be, that's not at all where I thought I was going to end my life, but it became something so much better and so much more through the years and through the cycles and developing who I am also as a person on and off the field. So it's interesting.
She was pressured by her big brother. I was pressured by my little sister to become a referee. So it's also a family thing for me. And I mean, I think the question of why we stay in this position, which, I mean, has brought us lots of success and lots of joys, obviously, but it's not always easy, let's be honest. For me, it's twofold. The first one is the community. Like, I have never met, like, or I don't know of a community of, you know, that is better than the referee community. And I've refereed, you know, in Ontario, in Quebec, in Nova Scotia, and in British Columbia. And everywhere I go, my best friends are the referees that I meet, right? They're just, like, really genuine people. I mean, my partner is a referee, so I guess I'm a little bit biased there, but, you know, it's just the community. They celebrate your successes with you, and they lift you up when, you know, there's a challenge or a barrier in the road. And, like, when I think about what's my life going to look like when I'm off the field, when I'm retired from soccer, that's the piece that I'm going to miss the most for sure, like the people around refereeing. And then the second piece of why I do it anyways, it's the emotion. Like, there's nothing in my life that gives me that thrill, that, like, I don't know, butterflies in the stomach that I get than when I walk out before a game. And it's funny because, like, it doesn't matter which kind of game, right? Like, you do a Canadian Premier League and there's butterflies in the stomach, and there's just a sense, huge sense of accomplishments when you finish the game. And it's the same thing when I do a university game locally or when I do a World Cup game. So for me, although refereeing is definitely not always, it's not easy, it's definitely always worth it. And it's because of the community and because of those emotions. It's just like, feels like living at 1,000 miles an hour, and I don't get that in any other aspects of my life.
So, as everyone here knows, soccer in Canada has really grown over the last little bit. And I mean, look at all the people that are here looking to get autographs from players, and we see a bunch of Davies and Sinclair jerseys walking around, and it's really fantastic. But have you guys ever kind of taken a step back and look around and say that you might be inspiring the next referee?
I mean, people have told me that in the past, and it's always very, very flattering. My very first Women's World Cup was an under 17. It was in Jordan in 2016. And I was lucky enough to referee the opening game of Spain and Jordan. And there's this woman in the crowd, small stadium, so for some reason the crowd got to me. I don't know how that happened. But no, who told me that she never thought that she, as a woman, would be able to referee. She had never seen women's referee, which is obviously a different reality than we have here in Canada. But, you know, that was very powerful for me. And when I think about, you know, younger girls, younger boys in the sport, like, refereeing for me has taught me so many life, I'll call them life lessons, maybe just like life strength or qualities that I use in other parts of my life, right? I didn't used to be, you know, able to talk in front of people with a mic. You know, it would have freaked me out. And that's something that you learn through refereeing. Right, the self-confidence, the communication, dealing with different people when they're like very emotional and angry and sad, all that kind of stuff, like, just enhances other parts of my life. So referring a little bit like what Chantal said earlier has been just a very positive aspect, not only for on-field stuff but also for off-field stuff.
And I think for me, this is an example just from few weeks ago when I was in Kansas City. It was, I'm getting prepared on my line, there's fans and stuff who are still on the field, and all of a sudden there's this group of females who were there, and they looked at me and they went, "You're a female." And I went, "Yes." And they went, "No, like, you're a female in a men's MLS game." And they were just so surprised, and they wanted a picture, so I took a picture with them. And it was great because it's still, we're becoming part of the conversation. And so when women see, like, I'm the first female assistant referee from Canada to be hired within the MLS, and there's other females within the US who are there as well, and we finally got a female referee in the MLS as well. And it's seeing the representation, and it's wonderful to see, because we see these in other sports, like NBA hired a bunch of women as well, and hockey's becoming it, and NFL, and it's so wonderful to be part of the conversation. So we also have women who are going to the Men's World Cup later this year, and to be those women who are in the room when those decisions happen, who are on the field when those decisions happen, it's an honor to be part of it and to inspire the next generation of women who will look at women like Marisa Leigh, myself, Katie Nesbitt, Stephanie from France, and say, that is who I want to be, and if she can do it, so can I. Looking at Christine Sinclair and saying, if she can do it, so can I. And seeing the sport develop the way that it has over the last decade is amazing to see. And it's not just the women stepping up, but it's also everyone around us welcoming us with open arms. And I think that's so important within this organization and within sport, and the way that we treat each other in any aspect of life is, it's so important to push boundaries, but also be willing to make the difference. And for me, I'm humbled to be here and to be part of that conversation. So, yeah.
All right, well, last quick question before we see if there's any questions from the crowd. But Greg, what's your greatest memory so far? What's your greatest accomplishment that you have on the field so far?
Like, my most memorable game for me, I would have to say last World Cup, I did the round of 16 game between France and Brazil. So first of all, refereeing the home team of the World Cup is always special, right? Huge stadium, huge crowd. And then when you referee them against such an emblematic team like Brazil, it was very special. So that's my best memory.
I feel like the World Cup would be the easy answer, but it's something as simple as, I love my job, and when we're talking about the experiences and the emotion, there was one of the games that I did for, it was the USA versus Brazil, and it's a crowd of 25,000 people, and all of a sudden, Rapinoe scores a goal. Oh my gosh. This is bad.
I don't know what story she's telling.
So it's Brazil versus USA, and Rapinoe scores the goal, and it's a beautiful goal, and the entire crowd is cheering, and I'm just standing there with my little flag going, offside. And it was great because all of a sudden the entire crowd goes from cheering to booing. And you're just standing there going, oh God, I hope I'm right. And so at halftime, all of a sudden...
Were you right?
At halftime, my brother texted me a picture and he goes, you are 100% right. And I go, oh, thank God. Because or else the crowd would have murdered me. But it's memories like that that all of a sudden make these stories fun. And the World Cup was amazing, but to me, that's one of my standouts, was getting booed by 25,000 people. I love my job, guys.
So, you know, Chantal, I've known you for almost 10 years now, and Marisa Lay's got to be over 15, 16 years. And the fact that I didn't make the list of one of the most memorable moments in either of your careers is a little offensive. But in any case, are there any questions out in the... Okay, Robin. Oh, over. Nope. We have a microphone for you. Excellent.
Hello. So let's say you somehow, all three of you were like a crew, and you got to do a 2026 World Cup game in Toronto, but it was between like Japan and Arabia, where the language, those folks don't really speak English, French. How do you communicate? Arm gestures, or how do you let them know what a call is?
Yes.
That face right there is exactly the answer.
So the question was, how do we communicate, you know, if there's a game between Japan and Saudi Arabia where some of the players may not understand English or speak English. Often we think of that as a challenge. Often it's actually helps, right? Because if they can't speak English, they literally cannot come and complain to me. So sometimes it makes those games actually, like, I don't know if easier, but different in the sense that they are, like, calmer or, like, not as loud. But really, for us to communicate with players, like, the soccer language in terms of refereeing is kind of universal, right? So I can always point to the whistle. I can always show whether I'm happy or angry. So, you know, body language and then some specific soccer words typically will be understood as well. But I don't really welcome anyone who doesn't speak English, come play soccer on my field. It's good.
Do we have any other questions?
Hello. How'd you elevate your game to get to the next level?
Are you a referee?
No.
Do you want to become a referee?
Not at all. I don't really like referees.
This is a great presentation for you then. Really, it's no different than being a player, to be honest. Like, we practice, we watch games, we analyze games, we go on the field, we do our job some days well, some days not. It comes from the experience, to be honest, and I think the more games you do, the better referee you become, and the better you understand the game. Just like as a player, the more games you do, the better you become one-on-one or crossing or whatever, so same thing.
Yeah, for me, I mean, there's the obvious, you know, fitness and understanding the game. There's a big part of refereeing that's mental as well, right? Like, you have... Often when we make mistake on the field, it's not because we didn't see it. It's not because we don't know what to do. It's often because we're thinking about something else. So the idea of, you know, staying in the moment, focusing on, you know, what's in front of you and taking in all the information, for me, it's a really important part of refereeing that took me from, you know, being a good referee to being, you know, at a top-level referee.
A great referee.
Thank you.
Excellent referee.
This one would be our last question before we wrap the panel.
And then back. Go ahead. Yeah.
Hi. I think it's really great. So, Chantal, you're a full-time referee and work part-time on the side. And Marisa, you work at Dalhousie and then referee as well. How do you guys find it, refereeing? I've heard other referees say it's difficult, not perhaps living in Europe where there's a lot more of a soccer culture, a lot more opportunity for career. How do you find balancing that in Canada?
So the question was, like, how do we find balancing, you know, having a real job with refereeing in Canada? Because realistically, until it's not really possible. It's starting to be possible in Canada to be a full-time referee, but few and far between. Compared to like one of our colleagues in, or some of our colleagues in Europe, for instance. So, I mean, for me, I guess I have never seen anything different. And so, so it's just my reality and I have to make it work. So I think I work like more efficiently or more smartly than some of my, you know, European counterparts that can do that full time. You know, my physical training needs to fit in an hour and a half because I do not have 3 hours to work out every day. So I, you know, pick what's most essential to my success. And I also feel, I'm going to come back to balance, but for me, there's, for me personally, it would be difficult to only be a referee. There's a lot of pressure that comes with refereeing. Like, our career can end tomorrow with a bad injury or tomorrow with a disastrous game, right? And I welcome the pressure of the referee. Like, I love having that pressure when I step on the field, but I don't want that pressure to affect how, like, my family, right? So I don't want, if I have a bad injury tomorrow and I can no longer referee, my kids are going to be okay and I'm still going to be able to buy peanut butter. So in that sense, like, there's a little bit less pressure for me because it really is a hobby that turned into a second career. So in my situation, I'm kind of happy where I am. So I'm not jealous of my European friends over there.
And for me, I actually decided to sacrifice family time. Again, being born and raised in Regina, Saskatchewan, 5 years ago, I decided to try to do this full time. So in 2017, I moved from Saskatchewan to Ontario to somewhere where I knew no one, to a town that I knew no one, and really try to commit myself to make it to that next level. And I know for me, again, working, trying to make this work full time between Canada Soccer, MLS, CONCACAF, FIFA. It is very difficult and there's a lot of sacrifices. I don't see my family very often. But at the same time, I know that I have a shelf life. I can only do this for so long. And if I decide to have kids, then maybe my body doesn't come back the way that I want it to after having a baby or an injury, or I just decide to retire. I know that for me, this is the dream that I have. And I wanted to sacrifice family time to a certain point to make this dream come true. And I'm extremely lucky to have a family and friends who support me and push me to achieve my dreams and don't hold it against me, which is really fantastic.
Sorry, I think we had a question back there. Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, so I guess this is more like an opinion question or insider information, but do you think that there's like room for a Canadian-based women's team to be incorporated into the NWSL in the short term?
I mean, to the question, is there room for a women's league in Canada? Like, I hope so, right? It would be good for the players. It would be excellent for the referees, like, for sure. How is that going to be done? I have no more information than you do. So I'm crossing my fingers, probably like you are.
It would be amazing. That would be truly, truly, truly amazing to basically have an NWSL team with Vancouver, with Montreal, with Toronto. I think that would be like the ultimate goal of everyone who wants to watch female soccer. How that would happen, I don't know.
Yeah.
We will just go and stand there. If you guys want to ask us questions, we can go there and stand there, and you guys can pick our brains all you want. It's a little bit of an empty brain, but it works.
Yeah, my flight's on at 5:30. Thank you so much, guys, for
sitting
and listening to us. Thank you so much.